gonna go to work to get the money to set the store up. He wants me to hand the money to him and say, here, son. But I'm not, because I said it's going to mean more to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a job and pay for it yourself, I'm not going to help you.
Yeah. That is what does count. That's, if they, like, I've learned it myself. That's how I've learned it myself, that you appreciate things more when you do it yourself. And that's what I teach my kids. I always make them, they gotta do something for whatever they get. I says, 'cause in this world, I says, you don't get nothing free. I said, if you want something bad enough, you'll do what I ask you to do. If you don't want it, then I says, I just figure you don't want it.
It's just like somebody coming to your house. You say, okay, you're invited for supper tonight. So they come over and they have supper with you or your friends. You don't expect nothing from them. But if they knew the way it was before, that when you invite somebody to their house, you either bring something with you or you do something. Take mm-hmm. the dishes and put them in the sink or whatever. But there's a reason behind that. Because you work hard for your money. You're taking the food out of your kid's mouth to feed your friend. That friend should know that they should bring something to your place to replace whatever it is you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
I've done that a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I was broke and didn't have no money and I was invited out, I always got right up and started helping put away things. If my friend was still sitting there eating, I realized that she worked hard to prepare the meal.
Mm-hmm.
I said, the least I can do is, you know, help her clean the mess up. And
Cheryl, what kind of work do you do here?
I'm a welfare administrator here. I started out as a bookkeeper after my kids were, well, my youngest one was in school every day. I didn't have no education. I only got grade 8. I failed grade 9. So I was here, like, they put up a position here for a committee member for economic development. As a committee member. I come up to find out what a committee member has to do. So they told me. So I said, well, I guess I can do that. So I come up. And when I joined the committee, they end up asking me if I would be the secretary and a bookkeeper. And I says, a bookkeeper? I said, I've never been a bookkeeper. They said, well, do you know how to add? I said, yeah. They said, do you know how to subtract? I said, yeah. They said, well, you'll be a bookkeeper then. I said, do you know how to type? I said, well, I said, I haven't been on a typewriter for a long time, but that's the only good thing I could do in high school was type. I used to type all the work for my friends. Some of them just hated the typewriter. And I liked it, so I would type, get practice from doing all of theirs. And, oh yeah, I can do that, I said. So I come up, and that's how I first started out. And then they started bringing in these training packages. You can train as a bookkeeper. And first thing I started out with just working with, well, we have a little $4,000 for the whole year for our committee. And I started out with that. And then I said, well, that was easy enough. And then they said, well, you can do that. Maybe you want to try for training, working in the office, in one of the programs. Okay, so I started doing that. And I liked it. So I phoned Mother's Lounge up and told them that I would be training. And I made $1 more coming to work every day than I did on Mother's Lounge. And she wouldn't help. They wouldn't give me no extra help because then they don't give you no money for training or anything like that. So I sat down and I said, well, do you want to do this? You got to do something. You know, what am I going to do? After I get off Mother's Lounge, what am I going to do? What kind of work do I want to do? I said, I like what I was doing so far. So I said, okay. So I applied for the job. And I walked to work every day. And I walked home every night. I did that for 3 years. Till I had finally had enough money saved to get my own car. And then that's when this position became available. And one of the counselors says, are you going to apply for that job? I said, welfare administrator? They says, yeah. I trained in welfare administrator here for 4 months. I went through training for 4 months. But it's just mostly the basics that I did. I said, I don't know if I'd be able to handle that or not, I said. And they kept at me. They says, go ahead, try it, they said. So the very last minute, I put in my resume for this job. I never thought I would get it, because there was a couple of people on council I didn't think would, you know, say that, vote for me to have a job. So I said, well, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, okay. You know. But I was just glad the next day they come and they told me right away that I got it. And I said, oh, good, I said. Because it was more money, too, then, and everything. I was just glad after. But I had to walk long time, a lot of days, winter months, too, to walk to work every day. And I come to apply to the council for a load of gravel for my laneway, because the water trucks couldn't get up my laneway. I said, she's working. Why can't she pay for her own load of gravel? And I says, I'm only making $1 more than I would, I said, if I was on mother's loans. And they asked me, why are you working? And I says, I'm working, I says, because I want to work. I says, I have to do something. I said, I don't want to live on mother's loans the rest of my life. Or whatever welfare they probably put me on after my children are of age. But I knew I had to do something. I knew I wanted to do something different. And as a welfare administrator, I get along pretty good with most of the members. But I don't believe in this scare tactics. And I believe in talking to them and explaining things to them. And sometimes I don't do no talking at all. I just ask a few major questions and I let them do the talking and I just listen. That's how you can tell people, how you can tell if they'll have a goal in mind of what they want to do. And we have a lot of programs that come in, a lot of training. I never seen so much training in my whole life as I do now. I can't believe it. The opportunities that are around, that was never around when I was wanted to keep on going to school and stuff like that. I said, the opportunities that are around here. And there's a lot of them that will take them and they'll go through with it. Some of them totally surprise me. But they say that's one of the joys of being a welfare administrator. Like if you have about 40 or 50 on your, what do you call them, only two or three might take your advice and go and apply for this or that. But still, that's still less, two or three. And it's still, they're building themselves up. They're trying something for themselves. That's what I like, especially with the younger generation. That's what I like to see. With the younger generation, it's a lot. It makes you feel more rewarding if you can get through to them than I have.
Do you think it's harder? I was thinking of maintaining the Native culture and the fact that there's also pressure on young women to get an education, to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make it tougher for them to hold on to some of the Native culture or put the time into?
No, I don't think so, because I do it. I still do it. And I have a tight schedule. Like I'm into committee meetings, but I still have time to go home and do my bead work, and I still have time to if the girls need any help, I still have time to help with them.
Some of the older women had said, they said, well, we don't know that the younger women are interested. They said, well, we think maybe it's because they're out working. So that was one of the questions.
No, I don't think it's really that. I think it's if they don't know.
It's that they don't know.
Because raising a family is just sort of like, it's like, it's nature. With women, it, you know, it's just natural. I never ever thought that raising children was really like a job or work. It's deep. When you sit back and watch them and see them growing, I even find it more, like, I think it's even more rewarding with my grandchildren that I got. Oh. And I remember back to when mine were younger. It's really not, it's just, like, you have time. If they knew their culture, they probably would.
So the real key then is that they just don't know enough.
Mm-hmm.
They need to know more
mm-hmm.
in order to value it.
I had three of them at home, and I still had time to do all the housework and look after the children and sew clothes. There's a lot of hours in one day. If they had the knowledge, I think a lot, because when I was even going to them beadwork classes, there was girls that was working, and they still took the classes. It didn't stop them. But then, it's also the money factor, too. That would also, I think, be one of the reasons why, is the money. If they have a lot of children, or if there's only one parent working. The money factor to actually buy the beads would be it too. But I think if they could, if somebody come along and gave them a whole package, they probably would sit down and do it.
Mm-hmm.
If they knew how. Somebody come along and hand them and say, well, this is yours and you can make whatever you want out of it. They probably would. And then they would sit down and teach their children too. But mostly it's a money factor and them not knowing how to do it. It's always the money factor.
Yes. yes.
Oh, but you know, 14.